Well, this year, we've covered several elections that have returned a surprising result. Mexico, Pakistan, and of course, Malaysia, all ousted long-sitting parties and brought to power a new leader promising sweeping change. Now, this week marks 100 days since Malaysia's general election saw the then 92-year-old Mahathir Mohamad return as the country's prime minister. It ended 61 years of UMNO rule. This is the party that governed Malaysia in coalition since independence in 1957. Now, Mahathir promised to reform Malaysia's corrupt institutions, overhaul the country's economy and finances. Here he is at his swearing-in ceremony.
Yes, certain age must fall. We find that some people were aiding and abetting a prime minister which the world condemns as a kleptocrat. We have to increase the confidence of investors in Malaysian administration. We will rule the country according to the laws of this country. But we also intend to abolish laws which are oppressive and unfair. And we have to study the fake news law. And the other one is the National Security Council, which is designed to frighten people.
So has Mahathir made much progress on his reform agenda in his first 100 days? Well, let's ask Bridget Welsh. She's Associate Professor of Political Science at John Cabot University in Rome. She's also an expert on Malaysian politics. You may remember that we spoke with Bridget on the day the election result was announced. Bridget, welcome back to Between the Lines.
Nice to be here.
What stood out to you in the first 100 days of Mahathir's prime ministership?
Well, I think it shouldn't be a surprise, but I think that what's very clear is that the reform process is a very slow one. While there have been significant steps to address some of the key issues, the focus of the administration has been on trying to address the problems of the past. The issues that have been central are concentrating on 1MDB, which is that terrible scandal involving multiple billions of dollars, as well as trying to uncover what has been happening in terms of issues of corruption and poor governance in the previous administration under Najib Tun Razak. And this has taken a lot of time. In terms of more democratic and institutional reforms, the process has been a very difficult one for a couple of reasons. The first of which is that there has been considerable resistance inside the system to these changes. And the second is that the rot in terms of the institutional systems goes very deep and will take considerable time to move forward.
And to be fair, I mean, we're talking about the Malaysians being creatures of habit. We've had more than 60 years of UMNO rule. That makes it difficult. You mentioned 1MDB scandal. Now, that's Malaysia's biggest corruption case, which has at its centre the former Prime Minister Razak. Now, he's facing a raft of charges. What's the latest on the case, Bridget?
He has been charged. There are multiple charges against him involving issues associated with abuse of power, money laundering, and so forth. The case will not actually go to the courts until next year, and it is focused on one particular element within the 1MDB scandal. So it's actually, I think, a very beginning part of the legal proceedings against him. So there have been some efforts, and these efforts, of course, with 1MDB have been international in scope because many of the deals associated with 1MDB have been outside. Malaysia's been in the press recently for the cancellation of projects with China. These also involve 1MDB funds and are seen to be very closely connected to the former Prime Minister.
Rajib Razak had a pretty close relationship with Beijing. What's the nature of Kuala Lumpur's relations with the Chinese government?
Well, I think there's considerable more distance. I mean, I think the reality is that all countries in Southeast Asia need to have a very good working relationship with China, given its regional economic power and also the role that China is playing in the global economy. Malaysia is Southeast Asia's first trading partner with over $100 billion in trade. We also see considerable investments during the last decade from China and also from Malaysia, both back and forth. And I think Malaysia's geostrategic position position, especially close to the South China Sea, has made Malaysia very important for China. And this relationship has deepened. The problem for Mahathir was not so much the economic and the geostrategic relationships, but predominantly in the last visit, the focal point of the fact that these infrastructure deals associated with the Belt and Road Initiative were connected with the payoff of funds for the 1MDB. And they were perceived to be not given on favorable terms by the Malaysians and involve very high levels of indebtedness from the perspective of the Mahathir administration. And this is why they have been cancelled.
And didn't he do that while he was on a visit in Beijing?
Well, the signals were clearly sent well beforehand.
But is it fair to say he's not concerned about angering the Chinese government?
I think he's not concerned about sending a message that Malaysia is going to take a different stand, that this administration will take a different set of positions. Malaysia does have, because they've broken these contracts, they will have to negotiate some sort of settlement. And of course, these are things will be continuing to evolve. It's not just something about breaking a contract, because these things will not only define the Malaysia-China relationship, but I think they set a precedent in terms of other Southeast Asian countries.
Yeah. That brings us back to the domestic sphere, judiciary, electoral bodies, police, anti-corruption bodies, they're all in need of reform. Has Mahathir's government taken any steps towards addressing these issues in his first 100 days?
There have been steps, but they have been very uneven, and some of them have not given the same priority. So the most substantive reform issues have been actually, surprisingly for many people, a reduction of the executive powers. So many in new institutions, such as the MACC, which is involving anti-corruption, and the Judicial Appointments Board and others, no longer report to the Prime Minister's office. They now report to the Parliament. And this is a quite significant shift in terms of where power is being centered. So there's been a moving away from the centralization of the executive power. I think that has been quite an important initiative. Some people would like this to go further, and that part of the reason that it hasn't is that this involves constitutional amendments, which have yet to be passed through the parliament. So one of those things that is very clearly on the agenda is having a two-term prime minister. I think in terms of the laws, there's only been one substantive repeal of the law, which was the anti-fake news provisions, which was mentioned in the clip that you had earlier. But in terms of changing a lot of the other draconian measures, these have yet to move forward.
Finally, Anwar Ibrahim, Mahathir's running mate at the election, his former nemesis. Now, at some point, Mahathir is due to step down to make way for Anwar Ibrahim to assume the prime ministership. Has Anwar proven to be an asset or a hindrance to Mahathir, especially given his praise for the Turkish President Erdogan's commitment to democracy?
Anwar has been very much focused on positioning himself in the new environment. Many of the statements that he's been making have been really about finding his own role in this environment. He doesn't have a clear position. He's now focusing heavily on running for the presidency, or he's actually going to win the presidency for his party, but his party is going through a very divisive election. There have been mixed signals sent in terms of Anwar, in terms of democratic reform, and I think there have been concerns raised about that among many different quarters within the Malaysian political system, whether or not Anwar is embracing reform. Particularly, he has been seen to be adopting a kind of a more racialized, Malay-focused agenda, or things associated with the Malay agenda. And of course, there were concerns about his visit to Turkey and the signals and what that sends. And people are asking questions about what his priorities will be.
Bridget, great to have you on Between the Lines again.
Great to be here. Thanks very much.
Bridget Welsh, an Associate Professor of Political Science at John Cabot University in Rome and an expert on Malaysian politics.